We are matter, kindred with ocean and tree and sky. We are flesh and blood and bone. Mind and spirit are as physical as they are mental. The line we'd drawn between them was whimsy, born of the limits of our understanding. Emotions and memories from despair to gladness root in our bodies. Our brains lay physical pathways and take bodily direction. Our bodies are longing and joy and fear and a lifelong desire to be safe and loved incarnate. Medicine became an art of treating our parts, not our whole. Religion divided us inside with high mystical notions that we are souls trapped in bodies, and theologies that made flesh and sin indistinguishable. Now we're bringing our sense of ourselves back to earth. We're tethering our yearning for wholeness to the physiology we've known about for a while, the neurons we're just learning to see. Physical, emotional, and spiritual are more entangled than we guessed, more interactive in every direction, and this knowledge is a form of power.
What these technologies, or intrapsychic technologies, whatever you want to call them, offer us is a chance to continually return to what's deepest and best in ourselves. And it's not something you have to get by going to Harvard or working in the vineyards for 20 years. You've already got it. And the body's a big part of it.
This is Becoming Wise, an inquiry into the mystery and the art of living. I'm Krista Tippett. Jon Kabat-Zinn was introduced to meditation while he was studying molecular biology at MIT. He says that scientists make the best meditators because they are most comfortable with knowing what they don't know. For him, this felt like a way to tap into different ways of knowing, to reconcile energies that had coexisted uneasily in his childhood with a scientist father and a painter mother. He came to feel that what he was learning should be accessible to everyone and that it held relevance to illness, healing, and stress. In the 1980s, he created something called mindfulness-based stress reduction, and he's contributed to a transformation of Western medicine that is still unfolding.
The practice of mindfulness, whether you're doing it in some formal way, meditating in a sitting posture or lying down doing a body scan or doing mindful hatha yoga, but the real practice is living your life as if it really mattered from moment to moment. The real practice is life itself and coming to all of those senses and hearing, seeing, smelling, tasting, touching, and also we could say minding.
You just really put a fine point on what's at stake, you know, that any moment in which we're not aware, any moment that we're not attentive to is lost. I mean,
your own life.
Right, there's a quote you have from Thoreau and Walden, only that day dawns to which we are awake.
Only that day dawns to which we are awake. It's the third to the last line in the whole book of Walden. And, you know, this is a realization that he had that you can... And this was even in the 1840s in Concord, which we might think of as idyllic. You know, he was describing the residents of Concord and the farmers as living lives of quiet desperation. So it's not just the email and the internet that are carrying us away from ourselves.
It's the human condition.
Yeah, it's the human condition. Uh-huh. But I like to point out, if we have a moment for this, Krista, is that we call ourselves Homo sapiens sapiens. That's the species name we've given ourselves. And that means, from the Latin sapere, which means to taste or to know, the species that knows and knows that it knows. So that means really awareness and meta-awareness. And it would be nice if that were actually true, but I think it's a little premature to call ourselves that. And now maybe we need to live ourselves into owning that name by cultivating awareness and awareness of awareness itself. And that let that be, in some sense, the guide as to, you know, what we're going to invest in, how we're going to make decisions about where we live, where we're going to send our kids to school, how we're going to be at the dinner table, whether we're going to take our bodies and our children and our parents for granted, or whether we're going to live life as if it really mattered moment by moment. And the more we can sort of learn these lessons, the more we will not be, in some sense, running towards our death, but in a sense, opening to our lives. And there's a huge distinction between the two, and all the scientific evidence is suggesting that when you choose life in the way I'm talking about, your brain changes in both form and function, your immune system changes, your body changes. I mean, we start to really take care of what's most important, and there are very, very tangible results at the level of the body and the mind and the heart, and most importantly, our relationships with the world and with our loved ones and with our own bodies.
Becoming Wise is an inquiry into the mystery and art of living. Find more at onbeing.org/becomingwise.
On Being is supported in part by Penguin Press, the publishers of Becoming Wise, an inquiry into the mystery and art of living. Krista Tippett's book offers a grounded and fiercely hopeful vision of humanity for this century, of personal growth, renewed public life, and human spiritual evolution. Available now wherever books are sold.